Well, good day to everyone, and welcome to our second session in this series on healing, cleansing, and redemption, where we're looking at leprosy and some things around it. Last week, we talked about leprosy as a type of sin, and we'll do a quick review, and then we'll move on today to begin to talk about the law concerning leprosy and the cleansing ceremony for leprosy as well. So, let's just jump in this morning to this. Leprosy, a type of sin. We looked at Matthew 10, verse 8 last week, and it reads this way. Jesus told his disciples to go heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. And we begin to ask the question, why heal the sick and yet cleanse the leper? And we've seen healing in Isaiah 53, but cleansing is not really broken out and mentioned there. So how does this apply? What is going on? Why is it? To begin to study this, we looked at three verses that took four accounts of healing. And we looked at these four accounts because these are the ones that is quoted in Isaiah's prophecy about what the Messiah will do. And that's what Jesus told John's disciples to go tell him. And it would involve what? Healing of a blind, the lame man, healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, and then healing of the man who was deaf and could not speak. And so those four things were specifically pointed out by the prophet that Jesus would be doing. But the first two of those, and the reason that I believe the Lord showed me those, is that those two involved Jesus talking about sin in relation to it. Now, I told you last week, we're not going on a scavenger hunt to try to find every sin we can have and tie it to every sickness that we may come up with or that we may be involved in. We're not doing that. We've been redeemed from that. But we did it because I want you to begin to see how the Hebrew people really believed that sin and sickness went hand in hand, and that's what we see in the leprosy. Now, in Matthew 8, verse 1, it starts the first account that is given in detail about how Jesus healed someone. And I believe it was Matthew 6. There's some earlier accounts, and he healed them all. He cast out devils. But this is the first one that involves a detailed account. And I think it's important that we take note of the fact that it involves a leper. So we saw in that study that the leper came and said, I know you can, if you will. And he was talking about doing what? Cleanse me. And then Jesus said, well, of course I will. And he touched him and he was cleansed. And so here again, we see this cleansing versus healing. And that's something that I have pondered off and on for years and believe that we've gotten some revelation on. So we then took a quick look back in the Old Testament where we saw sin with Miriam, and it resulted in what? Her being sent outside the camp for a week because she had been unclean, made unclean by the leprosy. And in doing that, we looked at Numbers 5:2 to see why that was important to the Lord. Now, this is before the law was given. And we saw last week in Numbers 5:2-3, let me quickly read it because it's pertinent today as well. Command the sons of Israel that they send away from the camp every leper. It goes on in verse 3 to say, you shall send away both male and female. You shall send them outside of the camp. And here's the reason. Then this is the Father talking. So that they will not defile their camp where I dwell in their midst. Where I dwell in their midst. So the Lord was saying, I don't want uncleanness to be near me. Now, really, that's for our benefit, for man's benefit. And again, I just want to make note of, there was no ceremony like we're going to be talking about today for her to be cleansed because the law had not been given. We also looked at Naaman and Elisha and how Elisha told him to dip in the river seven times. And when he did, he was healed. And then also, I just want you to note that there's nothing that he was told to do because he couldn't be sent to a high priest because he did not have one. And let me just say once more, There's no records, no other records in Scripture of lepers being healed. But there's a lot of discussion, and we're going to get into a few of the Scriptures in the law about that today. So as we do that, let's begin to talk about the law, and then we'll begin to see the ceremony part of today's session. Now, there are a number of laws in chapter 13 concerning lepers, and it goes over into 14 as well, where the cleansing ceremony is. But what we see is that we're just going to read a very few of them today, just some that are very important. Most of them deal with how the priest is to inspect the different types of leprosy. But I want to just say to you as we start this, the term leper was a very derogatory term, and it implied that they were not a good person. And when I think about that, I think about the woman caught in adultery who was brought to Jesus with, the worst sin ever. And yet how she was also denigrated. I mean, just looked down upon so bad. But for the grace of our Lord Jesus, could have been stoned. So let's start in Leviticus 13 by reading the first three verses. And we'll pick out some really salient points that we're going to see in the Scriptures in the New Testament that we're going to read today that'll give you more insight into what's going on. So verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy. Let me just stop and say, that's important. I want you to see that leprosy just doesn't appear. It starts somewhere else on the inside, and I'll talk about that a little more. Then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons. Verse 3, and the priest shall look at the mark on the skin of the body, and if the hair has an infection, has turned white, and the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of the body, and that's what leprosy would do, is just eat away the flesh. Very gross, very difficult to endure, then it is an infection of leprosy. And when the priest has looked at him, he shall pronounce him what? Unclean. Unclean. Not pure, not holy anymore. So, some key points here. When the man was sick with leprosy, he was not instructed to go to a man of medicine, but to a priest. So this is an indication, as we saw with Miriam, that it is tied to what? Sin. Now, when he's pronounced unclean, what he's saying is that the body, the object of that body, him, has been defiled. In other words, he's impure. And when he's impure, he can defile others. Now, you're going to see that in just a second, as it pertains to the altar where sins were atoned for. So he's brought to the priest, and then he can defile others. And then what happened? He was sent outside the city. And then we saw that last week. So if he's sent outside the city and he's infected, it's critical for us to see that it was unlawful for him to come inside and to come where others dwelt. Now, as for what would happen outside the city when others would approach him, if we read verses 45 and 46 of that same chapter, 13 Leviticus, it says, as for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn. Now, if you saw the picture that was associated with today's teaching, or you've seen some videos or movies of it, even I think it was an accurate depiction in The Chosen when the leper approached Jesus. The clothes looked awful, just disheveled. Everything was torn. And it just shows someone in what? Complete disarray. Someone not in control of his own destiny. And it says his hair should be uncovered. So they were taking away the protection that had been offered men in a symbolic way with the yarmulke. And it says, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. Now, why would he do that? To keep others away? Yes. it was almost like, and we would say, well, he didn't want it to be contagious and spread. Well, there was no proof that that's what happened. He just said they were unclean. They really didn't know what caused it. But it was so that the other people would not touch them and be defiled. And again, we've seen some representations of that in movies that might depict it quite well. And it says then, he shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. And it goes on and repeats again, ugly. I mean, it sounds terrible. He is unclean. And thus a leper was viewed as an unclean, a defiled, a person who had no chance of holiness while he had that disease. This verse concludes by saying, he shall live alone outside the camp. That's where he would dwell. And lepers would often get together and dwell in small colonies, you might say. So those were the laws. Now, as we go through this next part, I want to give you my thoughts on leper and leprosy and its relationship to sin. But you can begin to see some of these key things that we see here in these verses. Outside the city, nothing that would defile could be inside the city. So, leprosy. What I want to do is really talk about leprosy and sin, and then contrast it with us, Old Testament, versus us as believers. And again, leprosy and sin equated in the Hebrew mind, as we've seen last week and again today. So leprosy started inside the body, possibly the blood, and it's not initially seen by someone else. It has to work its way out to where they can inspect it and see it, and then by that time it could be what? Eating up the flesh and destroying flesh. And it would dismember, really. It would wipe away fingers or toes or things like that. But I want you to think about sin. Where does sin often start with us? In a place you can't see. It's not the act itself that others can see. It's conceived and starts with thoughts. And as we meditate and think about it, then we tend to act on it. So you begin to see a comparison here. Leprosy was considered really, really bad, as I've mentioned. And the leper himself was viewed in the same manner, a castaway of no value. And that was why I mentioned it was like the woman who was captured in the act of adultery, the bad sin, the worst of sinners. And it was as if, and from my perspective, they were condemned to a life that was just worthless. For man today, for you and I, this really, in my view, depicts a person who hasn't accepted Jesus. Now, we're going to read in a minute Ephesians 2:12, but that really is an accurate depiction of what we are. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, it says, without hope and without God. And that's often how a leper was, because no chance of healing through medical means. Leprosy, in doing this then, and separating them outside, separated men and women who had the disease from all that they held dear. Their family, their children, their parents, their friends, their work, their means of providing employment, even their worship. Because where did the Jews have to go to worship? Into the synagogue. And so they could not go to the city. There wasn't a leper portion set aside place for them into the synagogue. And then let's take that to us today. How does sin separate you and I? Well, it does even in the body of Christ, but it can also separate us from our God as condemnation does its work. You know, we make a mistake, we condemn ourselves, we beat ourselves up. We don't want anything to do with God because we think we've disappointed Him and He can't look on sin. Well, He sees sin every day if He looks on the earth. Now, being near it is another thing. And that's what some of what we'll talk about next week, how we can do that today because of what He's made us to be when we miss it. But in this sin nature, it not only separates us from God, but it'll separate from others because we're ashamed. And we'll look at some scriptures that'll talk about how he takes away our shame. Leprosy, in essence, was incurable. Thus, no one could cure themselves. There was no known structure. Now, could somebody have just been some way, somehow, other than the Lord, healed of leprosy? I'm not going to say that's not possible. But we see no account of it in Scripture. And we see no account of anyone other than the ones we've talked about. Moses, even in there, when he took his hand out and put his hand back in and the leprosy was gone. And I can just see the aghast look on their face both times when he removed his hand. But think about you and I. How does this relate to you and I? Well, from a sin perspective, we could do nothing for our sin. Zero. We couldn't take it away. We couldn't earn the right for it to be taken away. And really, that describes our nature before Christ. So it looks like to me, from my perspective, that only God could heal leprosy. Now, that is a big statement in what we're going to be talking about today and tomorrow. Today and next week, as we look, finish up this healing ceremony. But for you and I, what does that say? Jesus was our only hope. It was the only way we could get out of sin. So let's put this again back in our vernacular and thinking about us today. Before you were born again, you were considered to be what? A sinner. But were you a sinner because you sinned, or were you a sinner because that's who our nature was, because we had a sin nature come to us through the fall? Now, this is an important concept. You weren't a sinner because you sinned. You sinned because that's what sinners do, but that was your nature. That's who we were. So, see this then. Now, let's just pivot over to talk about the leper. They were viewed similarly. They weren't lepers just because they had leprosy. They had leprosies because they were lepers. So leprosy represented that sin nature that was trying to destroy us totally. You manifest who you are. In other words, if you've got a righteous nature, you ought to be doing righteous deeds, saying righteous things. If you're a sinner, you're going to sin. You're going to manifest sin. And if you were a leper, you would manifest what had started on the inside of your body and was working its way out. So I think in that you can get a picture of how a leper really represents the state that we were before Christ. You know, I've always talked about a leper as being someone who's half dead. He's alive spiritually. I mean, alive physically, but he's not alive spiritually, which no one was at that time. But for the leper, I think about it as half dead because he was alive, but he was separated from everything that mattered to him. There was nothing left that was going to bring him joy because he was just separated from it. And that's what Ephesians 2:12 says. Let me read it to you. It says, "Remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel." This is talking about the Gentiles. "And strangers to the covenants of promise." And here's the phrase, "having no hope and without God in the world." We were alive, but we were dead spiritually. Now with that background, let's go to Mark's account of this. Okay? We're going to be in Mark's account of this. And so chapter 1, verse 38 and 39, I want to read together. And we're going to just read apart and talk about it. It says, Jesus said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby." That's important. So mark it or make a mental note of it. "That I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." Now, verse 39 then says, So he went to their synagogue, into their synagogues, all throughout Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. Now that almost sounds like he went into town and did most of his work in town. And the leper is about to approach him. But I want to know, and this is one reason it's important to read if this account of the lepers in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's important for us to read all three of those so that you can bring all these thoughts together. For Luke's account says this, it came about while he, Jesus, was in one of the cities, behold. Now that word means look at this. This is an important point. There was a man full of leprosy. Where? In the town, where he was not allowed. What was he trying to do? Well, we know from last week he was trying to get to Jesus. So begin to think about the huge risk that this man was taking inside the city where he was unclean and could make everyone else that he came in contact with within a certain distance, he could make them unclean. Verse 40 picks up back in Mark 1 and says, and a leper came to him. And so that's really what we talked about. Where was he supposed to be? Outside the city, where a place where he had no hope. So why was he coming inside the city? Because like us today in sin, before Christ, there was no hope for us. Jesus was his only hope because he had heard all of the miracles that Jesus was doing in healing the sick. Now, how do you think the people reacted when he saw them? If you've watched The Chosen, which is probably the most recent thing I've seen where a leper comes up, they went bananas. His disciples just panicked, knives out, stay away. Even the ladies panicked to the same degree. Why? Because they knew this law and they did not want to become undefiled. Now, in The Chosen, I think his dress was representative too, and was very accurate. So it was obvious just in seeing him in his condition, and if they saw any of the areas of his body that had been eaten away or was contained the leprosy, they knew what they were facing with. Now, there's nothing in Scripture that says he put his hand over his mouth and said, unclean, unclean, I need help. He just went straight to Jesus, wanting to get to him. And I can only imagine Jesus' disciples were going to protect him at all risk. Now, let's continue on in verse 40. So a leper came to him, and we'll pick up with this, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him, saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He didn't say heal him again here. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, this is a strong request that he's made. He's taken risk, obviously, but he does it in a worshipful manner, most humbly, we might say. He's almost doing it as saying, look, I'm coming to you this way. Don't reject me. You're my only hope. You're all that I got. And I'm sure he's heard about the other miracles. So verse 41 then, Jesus says Jesus was moved with compassion, love deep inside him yearning. And he stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus should have been made unclean. But because he had that sin nature, no, he did not have that sin nature. He did not sin, and thus it did not come upon him because of his father, who his father was. Then he reached out, and that's when we talk about the leper became clean instead of Jesus becoming unclean. So let's just talk about this one a minute. Now, Jesus says to him, I am willing, be cleansed. In the Living Bible, he says, why, of course I will. And I love that compassion coming out in that phrase. So it's a strong request. Jesus is asked, he's asked Jesus, and Jesus reaches out and touched him. And we see that he is cleansed. In verse 41. Now, Jesus said, be cleansed. Cleanse in the Hebrew, in the Greek, means katharizo, and it means to cleanse, to make clean, to purge, or to purify. Now, what does that sound like? If you've been purged from something, what's the most common thing we might hear? Sins. And so here we begin to see this concept tied together, taking cleansing and tying it with leprosy and tying it to sins. Let me give you two scriptures. This is about cleansing of the altar. And it says in Exodus 29, 36 and 37, you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for your atonement. So what were they doing? They were constantly offering something because they sinned every day and they had to offer something. It goes on and says, before you do that though, you must do what to the altar? Cleanse it when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it. Now, if you've got my notes, or if you've got a Bible, underline that, because that's going to be important next week. You shall anoint it to do what? To sanctify it, to separate it unto me. So here we're seeing that the altar had to be clean because it could still be unclean from what happened previously from the sin offerings. It goes on and says in 37, 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar must be holy, and whatever touches the altar must be holy. That's the state that we didn't hold before Christ, and this leper certainly didn't. Now we see this cleansing thought or cleansing concept also in the eyes of David in Psalm 51 verse 2, where he has sinned. And he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. You're actually going to see that today. And cleanse me from my sin. So here again, we see sin and cleansing most often going together. And now we see it extended to leprosy. So I want to ask you, was the man healed? Yes. But Jesus says, be cleansed. So there's something else that's going on in this. Now, when Jesus told him that, do you think his faith rose? Yeah, I think he had it. When Jesus said that, he went from hoping that he, knowing he could and hoping he would, to knowing both of those. And his faith enabled him to receive. Now, let's jump down. Verse 42 says, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Past tense. The leprosy was gone. But you're going to see he hadn't been cleansed yet. And 44 says, Jesus said to him, don't say anything to anyone, but go to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Now, I just really want to bring out this point. My guess is most priests did not do a cleansing ceremony very often, if ever. So this would be a big deal. Why was that the case? Because nobody could heal the leper except the Lord. So I ask you the question again, who is this a testimony to? Who is that a testimony about? And I would submit to you that you're going to see it's much more than just a testimony of healing by someone. It is really proclaiming Messiah's here. All the way back in the Old Testament, put in so that Jesus could proclaim to those priests who were giving him such a hard time, those same very priests had to acknowledge, if they went through this healing ceremony, that he was the Messiah. Oh, that just thrills me. And I think it'll become more evident for you next week. Now go with me to the 14th chapter of Leviticus. I'm going to begin. We may go a minute or two over today, so please just stay with us. Now, I want you to note, first of all, that this ceremony is not what someone does hoping to be cleansed. This ceremony is for one who has been declared cleansed. Okay? So verse 1 of this chapter, it's for someone who has already been healed of leprosy. So then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing." So he's been healed. Jesus said, "You're cleansed," but now there's another cleansing going on. "And he shall be brought to the priest." But where is he brought to the priest? He's brought to the priest outside the camp because he can't go in. So verse 3 says, "The priest should go outside the camp and look, and if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper," then these next verses tells him what to do. Now, the priest goes outside the camp. Why? To see if he's healed, see if he's been rophed, but he can't come in if he's a leper. Now, I also want you to note right here that there was another act that was taken outside the city. And that was the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. It happened outside the city because cursed was someone, not clean anymore, if they hung upon a tree. So in verse 4 then, it says, "The priest shall give orders to take 2 live clean birds and cedar wood and a scarlet string and hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed." Now, I want to stop there. He wants to take 2 live clean birds. The words that's used for birds here in the Hebrew is noteworthy. It refers to 2 sparrows or 2 common birds, the very least of birds. And you're going to see one of them will represent Jesus, and one of them will represent you and I. And they were both common birds. They didn't bring a dove and a sparrow. They didn't bring an eagle and a sparrow. They brought 2 sparrows. And who brought them? Who provided them? The priest is bringing this. So I want you to see these things. The priest is providing all, just as the Father provided all for us. And Jesus came in like manner as us. 2 sparrows. Nothing different about him except no sin nature. And because of that, the Holy Spirit could come on him. So Jesus didn't come as something supernatural that we are supposed to just bring in all. Oh, look how he's different here. No, we're supposed to see him like us. Now, the birds were to be clean, which means what? No diseases, no deformities, pure. And that's what Jesus was inside also. And so let me just amplify this. When he came, he also dealt with sin, but he dealt with what? The impact of sin, which was our healing. And that's what you're seeing in this account also. He hates disease like he hates sin because of what it does to his creation. Now, the cedar wood to which the scarlet string would be used to tie the hyssop to that cedar wood so that the priest could have the hyssop on something that he could dip in, as we're about to read, and then sprinkle. What do those 3 things represent? The cross, the shed blood, and the hyssop was used to what? Lift up the sour vinegar, the sour wine, to Jesus. So all 3 of those are connected to what we see in the cross. Now, let me say again, the priest provided all of this. The only thing the leper had to do in this ceremony was stand still and accept the priest sprinkling him. That's all he had to do. Does that sound like you and I? That Jesus did it all? So this is really a picture of God's redemption for us, for man. We, just like the leper, had nothing to do with it. All we have to do is to accept it and understand that we've been made ready to be in his presence, just like the leper can now be in the presence of the priest for this cleansing ceremony of the Lord. Now, verse 5 says, "The priest shall give orders to slay 1 bird in an earthenware vessel." Now, it's interesting to me. He's slaying it in an earthenware vessel. Isn't that what Jesus did? He came down and in his spirit was the temple for the Most High God, just like we have it today if we've been born again. And in this earthenware vessel, they were putting running water in there, running water through it. Running water is an indication of water that is alive. It's living. It's like the river that flows out of the temple in Ezekiel 37 that gets deeper and deeper, and it says a little further down after it's talking about the depth of it, everywhere the river went, there was life. So this running water is that life that now is in us, where we have rivers of living water running out of us. So he was to slay one bird in this earthenware vessel over the running water, which means living, alive. It's the spirit realm. So who do you think that was? That was representative, obviously, of Jesus. And as for the live bird, he shall take it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet string and the hyssop that they've tied together, and he shall dip them, the bird and this hyssop tied to this with the string to the cedar wood, in what? He should dip them in the blood of the bird that was slain over the running water. Oh my. So the hyssop and the live bird were dipped. It represents what? Of Jesus, the slain bird. Let me just reference a couple of scriptures for you. John 19:34. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately what? Blood and water came out. Ephesians 5:26, talking about you and I. And this really takes us to where we're going to head next week. We'll probably use this verse again. It says, speaking of us, the church, that we've been sanctified and cleansed by the Lord. How? With the washing of the water by the word. So this word is a representation of what's going on, and it can bring life to you. Of us, that live bird that was set free after the blood applies, it is a picture of our redemption. John 8:36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, I want to stop here, because at this point, when the blood of the slain bird, who is Jesus, is applied to the man, then the first part of his cleansing is complete, just like you and I. But there's more to come in his maturity. And you're going to see that next week. And that's what verses 8, 9, and beyond. If you want to read ahead, it's okay. But we're going to go through those in great detail with a number of other examples and tie it to us. But see, Jesus was killed outside the city. This live bird, this same body as the bird which was set free, which represents us. Also, it was released. Jesus was killed outside. Just begin to see this prophetic picture of Jesus. You can see Jesus in all of this ceremony. And let me tell you, it's just getting started, because we'll finish up in talking about part two of the cleansing, and we'll tie it to you and I. And we're going to come away when we read this account in the future. You're not just going to think of a person being healed. You're going to have a picture of the total reason that Jesus came to earth. And remember, go show yourself, he was told to the priest. This priest, when he does this ceremony, has to acknowledge Messiah's healed him. That's the only way. We love you guys. Let me back up before I end it. That's the only way we can be saved in this world. There is no other way of salvation. Now, we'll see you next week. Don't miss this last session. I guarantee you it will bless you immensely.